All right, so I don't quite know fully what to expect this week because this one kind of came a little out of nowhere, unexpected choice for this week. But let me explain to you how I got here. So there's this YouTube channel that I follow called Puro Wave, where they make like music videos of old 1980s pro wrestling from Japan. You know, they just take clips and they kind of deliberately make it look like a VCR effect, and it's just kind of cool because I don't know a ton about. I'm relatively up on current day Japanese pro wrestling, but you know, as you go back to the 80s, it's a lot more obscure. And this one popped up of a lady named Dump Matsumoto, which that stood out right away because that's to North American ears, that's a funny name. Why would your name be Dump? But it turns out it's kind of like dump truck, you know? It's like, I'm strong as a dump truck. I'm Dump Matsumoto. But it's a perfect classic, you know, weird, not translation thing, but just that they use words that we would have thought of something else in North America. But Dump Matsumoto. And I watched this thing, and yeah, it's this women's wrestler from the 80s who, Dump Matsumoto is the right name for this lady. She is like scary almost. Where, do you remember in the 80s in WWF? There was this team called, you might not know this at all, but the Road Warriors, where they wore like these leather get-ups with spikes and they had makeup on and
Oh, yeah,
they were pretty famous back in the 80s. Like, I didn't watch wrestling a lot when I was a kid, but I knew the Road Warriors. You know, they were pretty famous. Apparently, they basically took that whole gimmick from this lady. She did it first in Japan. And it seems interesting because, like, I was like, I've never heard of this lady. I looked her up a little bit, and it's like a combination of things. Of like, obviously, wrestling is, since it's a show, you know, it's you need the wrestlers and the audience both to be in on it. You know, everyone's got to work together to make the show work. So it's kind of interesting from what I was reading about this lady, where it's a combination of factors, but it's partially that in Japan they just take wrestling a lot more seriously. You know, they're much more willing to play along. Like, if you're a fan of someone, you cheer that person like with all your heart. And if you don't like someone, you boo them with all your heart. Where we're a little more like postmodern in North America, or a little more ironic about it. Where in Japan, they're much more like they take their role as the audience more seriously to make sure the show goes off well. And also, this was the 80s when everyone just, you know, everyone's already knew wrestling wasn't real, but they were taking it more seriously in the 80s. But also just because it's Japan, and Japan is so much more straight-laced and conformist, you know, than North America. So this lady in the 80s dressing like, you know, with like a scary biker with crazy makeup and crazy hair and stuff, apparently like people would, you know, if they saw her walking down the street in real life, they'd cross the street, you know, because like partially as like, oh, that's the scary wrestler, I should play along, but partially legitimately because they kind of thought like, in order to throw off the to be this unusual in 1980s Japanese society, especially as a woman, like, are you like crazy? What is wrong with you? You know, they were like worried about this woman. Like, I don't want to be anywhere near her. So she was like a great villain in pro wrestling in a way that you probably couldn't even be anymore. This is a lady I had never heard of till the other day. So this was just my surface level understanding of her. But then, as I was reading about her and her history and stuff, and I was like, oh, this seems pretty interesting. And then I saw Netflix just put out a 5-part TV show about her life. And I was like, what the heck? What is going on here? That seems like an incredible coincidence. But then I realized that's why the Puro Wave guy put out this video about her. It's because of the Netflix show. It's not a coincidence at all. But I kind of came in backwards. Instead of knowing that there was this Netflix show, I just stumbled upon this little music video and was like, this is an interesting looking person. And that's how I learned about the Netflix show. So I was just like, all right, well, let's just stop the research right now. Let's just watch it. It seems like a great excuse to check this show out. So I've got the little music video so we can watch that first. It's like 5 or 6 minutes. It's just, you know, different clips of her on Japanese TV, the real person, set to music, and you know, just to get a sense of who the real person was. And then I've got the first episode of this Netflix show. It's like a Japanese-made show with subtitles. It's called The Queen of Villains, and it's the story of this lady's life. So I was like, all right, let's do it. Let's check it out, because I'm dang interested and I'm willing to drag you along with me into 1980s Japanese pro wrestling. But just from the little bit I looked into it, I don't know, man. Sounds pretty interesting to me.
Okay. Here we come, Dump. She's a big girl.
Yeah, and this is the thing, too. I think I've mentioned this before when we've talked about wrestling, but Japanese pro wrestling is also famous for being the most physical of pro wrestling. You know, it's much more kind of harsh than Mexican pro wrestling and North American pro wrestling. You know, they basically, it's still a show, but it's like, hey, what makes the show look better than actually beating each other up? You know, so Japanese pro wrestling is quite brutal. It's interesting, too, because Japanese pro wrestling is generally pretty gender segregated, you know, like there will be companies of men and companies of all women. Usually, sometimes they mix, but it's generally that way. Where in North America, it tends to be a mix. But it kind of is cool because in these companies that were exclusively female pro wrestling, they were decades ahead of us. You know, like this is so much more legit and so much harsher. And like, you know, the women are certainly not just there to be eye candy like they generally used to be in North America. Like this is some brutal ass pro wrestling. You know, this is as harsh as anything that the men are doing. Many of these people are getting beat up and bleeding and like, Christ. Oh, for anyone listening on my end, by the way, this is the sound of a garbage truck arriving in Taipei. This is the jingle. And here, yeah, you can tell this must be a little later in her career when she's starting to make TV appearances and stuff, you know. It's maybe getting a little more, a little softer, a little goofier than that early stuff where she's like jabbing forks into people's foreheads. So yeah, that was, again, I'd never heard of this lady before. I just saw that. And just seeing that alone, I was like, who is this person? Like, that's why I started looking her up and found out that there's this TV show about her. Because I was like, even just that little 6-minute overview of her career, that seems pretty interesting.
Yeah, yeah. She started off with wrestling, but then she moved into the commercial stuff of selling noodles and TV.
Man, that just also... It is funny, though, that like pro wrestling thing of just like the good guys and the bad guys, especially at this time in the 80s, you know, this was the height of WWF being its most cartoony, you know, like cartoon villains, cartoon heroes. But in Japan, it's a whole different thing because like that specifically that part where she's hiding the fork from the referee. And when the referee's not looking, she jabs it in the other person's head and she's like doing it enough to draw blood. And you can really imagine being in the crowd and just being angry at her. Like, fuck that bitch. How can she do that? You know, like, and you just get drawn in and you want her to lose, even though you know it's fake. Like, Japan's so good at that. There's another thing that they do a lot. The bad guys, if the good guy's like, you know, he's out of breath and he's on his hands and knees and he's just like, and then the bad guy will come over and just kick the good guy in the head. Like, just kick him in the head over and over. They do it in Japan all the time. And they don't do that in North America because you don't do that. You'll give someone a concussion. But in Japan, they do it and it works. Like, you're like, stop it, you asshole. You have to lose this match now. But especially, yeah, like Japan, man, they're crazy with this shit. Like, that was a surprising amount of blood and violence. But it works, you know, if you just want to tell the story of I'm the bad guy. Like, there is no ambiguity about who's the good guy and who's the bad guy in those matches.
Oh, yeah. And she's not a pretty little thing. She's a big, bulky girl.
Yeah, you can understand, like, those stories I was saying about when people would see her walking down the street. And she is still, you know, she's got the crazy dyed hair and she's got the makeup and she's, you know, like... Like in the 80s, like for instance, with the Road Warriors, that would scare a kid in North America, but that would scare a grown-up in Japan in the 80s. Like, you're like, you are throwing off the shackles of society. You're not supposed to do this. You're supposed to look like everyone else and you're supposed to act like everyone else. What the hell is Dump Matsumoto doing? You're like, that's a scary person. So yeah, it's like, I want to know more. I want to learn about this lady because this seems cool. Oh, that's another thing I wanted to bring up. It's so neat how these things can tie into your life in these weird ways. When they were showing the video game that she was in, so that video game, they brought it over to North America on the Sega, and it was supposed to be all women. In the Japanese version, it's one of these companies that's all female wrestlers, but obviously North America, we wouldn't know what to do with that. That would be just confusing to us. So they changed the game into all men wrestlers for America, and I had that game on the Sega Master System. It was just called Pro Wrestling. Like, I remember one day I came home for lunch when I was in elementary school, and I was on a really good run with that game, and I lost track of time, and I was a little bit late getting back to school. And it's one of those memories that sticks in my head, because back in elementary school days, I was still a fan of school. You know, I didn't want to be late for school. And I was like, oh, crap, I lost track of time because I was playing this game. And it's just so interesting to know that that game was supposed to have Dump Matsumoto in it if I had had the Japanese version. And it's just like, wow, this lady like ties into my youth in this random way that I never would have known about. So that's my only connection. It's pretty tenuous, but that's still something. That's still kind of cool.
Okay. So now we're going to watch her movie, the movie about her, right?
Yeah. So it's a 5-part show. So, you know, if this is really neat, we can watch all the other parts on our own time. But for this, for the purposes of this, we're just going to watch episode 1, Queen of Villains, episode 1. And yeah, this is pretty new. This just came out within the last few weeks on Netflix. So, yeah, let's check it out.
Usual for Netflix. They do a good job on these kind of things. They're doing a very good job on this one.
Yeah, it's nice too that it is just, I mean, I guess Netflix is quite varied in the type of stuff that they do, but this one is definitely stands out a little more because it is, in some ways, it is like the by the books, you know, got the tough life growing up, the bad dad, the lack of money. Then you go to the tryout and you fail at first, but then you make it. And, you know, even like at the end where it's just like, yeah, we see the eye of the tiger in this girl. We can see the potential. Like, in a lot of ways, it's the by the books beats of a story like this. But the fact that it's set in Japan and it's made in Japan and it's like a Japanese production, really, and that it's women's pro wrestling, you know, it's got a lot of little angles to it that I think make it interesting. I'm definitely interested. I liked it.
Yeah, me too. I'm hooked enough that I'd watch a second version of it. And it's always kind of nice to see the background of something. Like the earlier thing we watched was obviously her at the height of her game. But sometimes it's nice to know, like, what was it in somebody's background that made them so determined that they were going to do this? Come hell or high water, she was going to become a pro wrestler. I mean, things like that just don't come out of the, you just don't wake up one day and say, I'm going to be a pro wrestler, and you become a pro wrestler. You have nothing in your past that kind of made you the type of character that you are. I mean, obviously she's a very angry girl. Like, where did that anger come from? It came from her youth. It came from her family relationships. It came from the fact that people made fun of her because she was overweight as a child. I mean, there's all those things which in life, it usually is something from your past that has built that makes you the person that you are as an adult. So that was interesting to see the background of her life.
Yeah, it was kind of handy having that that first thing that I saw, the little Puro Wave, the 6-minute music video about her. Definitely, it's nice to have that going into it, like to see where things are going, because yeah, because even if you did have it as your dream to be a pro wrestler, it does still seem like, with my limited knowledge of women's wrestling at the time, it probably would be more like you are that, more the beauty queen, where all the other wrestlers were like, I'm thin and I'm pretty and I'm going to sell, they're going to sell calendars with my picture on it and stuff. You know, I'm going to be like partially an idol as well as a wrestler. So you might see that potential path. But yeah, not only did she not really fit the mold, but again, in just the bit that I read, you know, that like wrestling historians were talking about how the Road Warriors patterned themselves after her, but there's no, she patterned herself after whoever, you know, like maybe she patterned herself after Japanese biker gangs or, you know, like in Japan, there is this whole culture of kind of like 1950s tough guy, you know, motorcycle gang type stuff. So, or kabuki stuff too. I'm sure it's all a combination of that stuff. But from what I understand, there was no one before her to take on that character she eventually became. So yeah, that's kind of interesting too, of just, because especially too, if you're a Japanese citizen at the time and you turn on TV and you see her, you kind of see it as the finished article. Like whoa, look at this crazy person. She's nuts. That's insane. But yeah, you just don't think about the normal person who had to work to figure that out and become that character.
But they also took the effort to introduce other people. Like, they didn't just have everybody who says, I'm the beauty queen type of pretty girl and I just want to do wrestling because that's kind of the in thing. They showed that other girl whose parents disappeared in the night. We have no idea whatever happened to them, but she has nowhere to live. She has no money to buy food, and she obviously doesn't even have the skills to know, the street skills to know that she can go out and collect bottles to make a little bit of money. But she's determined that she's also going to be one of these pro wrestler types. So we saw her character. And then as the auditions are happening, somebody makes a comment at the time that some of these girls, it's like 3 and 4 times that they are coming back to audition. So obviously they also have got this urge to do something. Now, we don't know their background stories, but we know that our girl is not unusual in that she's got a background that's leading her to become very determined. These other girls do too. We just don't know what their story is. But the girl that is sleeping under the ring because she has nowhere to stay. I mean, she's obviously got quite a story behind her. We learn a little bit about that she's been orphaned or dispossessed or something as a child, and then she's just got to move from place to place with relatives, and yet she doesn't have enough money to eat, but she still wants to do this. So we know. So that was interesting that they just didn't dwell on our girl and tell her story. They introduced other people who were obviously have stories and are just as determined.
Yeah, it must be interesting too, though, as the real person watching this back, because the tiny bit that I read, I only read about that she had an alcoholic dad who she did not like, and the point of her wrestling inspirations was wanting to beat him up. But that in real life, she did all, like, that reference to people coming back 2 or 3 times, she was one of those. You know, she had to audition 2 or 3 years in a row. But it's just one of those things that's kind of untenable as a story, you know, like it would just really slow down the story if now another year. So, you know, they just shortcut it. But it is funny how often they've like obviously shortcut stuff, like that she gets in this fight with her dad, realizes her dad has this other family. And on that exact day, she stumbles into, you know, the pro wrestling place. And like, it must be funny watching this as a person where, you know, your real story was way slower and took a lot longer. But for the sake of a TV show, just everything sort of falls into place. But it is one of those cases where I don't think it's a bad thing that they're kind of going by the books and following those beats, standard storytelling beats, because that probably helps a lot if you're a general audience too. Like, I'm interested in pro wrestling and interested in Japan, and I can, you know, and I know about modern day pro wrestling, but even I didn't know who this lady was. So for the average Netflix audience, you know, you can't I think you gotta kind of draw people in with those standard comfortable storytelling beats that they're used to get them in the door. And it still seems like it's basically true,
and it kind of makes you wonder. In such a popular sport, whether it be in Japan or United States or wherever, I wonder what made them pick her out of all the people that obviously have a story to tell and have made quite big names in this world. Yeah, what was it about her that made them Netflix say, hey, she's our gal. Let's make a story about her. Like, she's really got something going here. Just a query.
Yeah, no, I definitely do not know. Because, yeah, like I said, I didn't know who she was until just very recently. But, I mean, I guess partially, I mean, it must be someone behind the scenes who's obviously a big wrestling nerd who, you know, wanted to do this. But I got to assume probably what made Netflix sign off on it is just the surface level image. Like, if you see her on a poster, you see her on the thumbnail of the thing, you're like, who the heck is that? You know, like, just that her claim to fame, which we didn't get to in episode 1, but is obviously coming, is that she doesn't look like anybody else and she doesn't present like anybody else. And you know, even to this day, like, I can't think of other wrestlers, especially women wrestlers, like, if I had to compare her to other people, well, no, there's a couple. I can think of a couple of people that are somewhat like her. But even still, not really, you know? So, but yeah, I'm really not sure. I don't know how this project got off the ground. It seems very idiosyncratic, but I'm glad they made it. It seems pretty cool.
Yeah, it does. And what a prick that father is.
Yeah.
What a prick he is. You'd like to retrade in the screen and just kill him. He's such a low life and a prick. And yeah, and like as his wife says, what is this when he has a baby girl with the second woman that he shacked up with and he names her the same name as his daughter? Like, hey, what is it with that? Twerp. Twit.
Yeah, that's where I have a bad feeling where even though there's so many elements of it where you can see that they've just kind of tightened it up for the sake of storytelling of like, oh, I'm sure this thing wasn't quite right or that thing wasn't quite right. Or even just the way they present pro wrestling is always difficult in shows because everybody knows it's not real. But in these dramatizations, they tend to kind of present it like it's a real fight and you walk this weird line. But I get this bad feeling that they probably did not exaggerate very much with the dad. If anything, it was probably worse because you have to multiply that by years and years and years of dealing with this fucking guy. I bet it was way worse in real life. But yeah, I mean, I think that's partially, though, that's what's interesting about pro wrestling to me in general is that every industry has these ups and downs and ins and outs and stuff, but it's so much more. It's ironic because people think of wrestling as so dumb. It's just fake fighting. Fake good guy, fake bad guy, fake everything. But if you just want something to like a bauble to play with in your mind, you know, pro wrestling is so complicated. And when you really think about what's going on here, it's so weird. Why does anyone do this? Why is anyone a fan of this? Why does this fucking exist? And it just as a thing to contemplate, a social construct to think about, I think it's very interesting, but it's totally one of those things that either you're into it or you're not. Like, there's really not a lot of point in trying to convince somebody who thinks wrestling is stupid that there's anything interesting going on here. But I'm glad that this show is about, you know, Japanese wrestling of a bygone era instead of like modern day North American wrestling, say. You know, it's nice that there's like shining a light on a different area of it.